many have ever seen the clouds on the other side from the sky in a plane, looking down, see all those clouds, beautiful sight, and gorgeous to look at. And so lift up our eyes on high. The Lord is on high, and He is above all these things that we see here on earth. Just by way of announcements, we want to praise God. There was one assurance of salvation this week at the nursing home there at Meadowview, and Brother Dylan and I had some good visits and soul winning yesterday. We met a man named Jeremy, actually. He's about he's a little older than me, and he just got baptized 5 months ago, and he is looking for a church. So pray that he said, first thing he asked was, do you believe in demons? I said, of course, they're in the Bible. We know they're real. And he said, good. He said, a lot of Christians I've talked to, they say, oh no, we don't think about those things and this and that. And he said, well, that's strange because the Bible mentions it. So pray for Jeremy. He's looking for a church. He just got baptized. So pray that he comes out. Then also we saw Eddie and Nancy yesterday and had a nice visit with Nancy, and Eddie wasn't there, and they're looking forward to coming back to church. Then, how's Roy doing lately?
Yesterday was a good day.
Okay.
However, this morning he was a bit confused, but that's because the schedule was confused. Jay was unable to get out. His street was not plowed, and he couldn't come, so that was different. And Karen's sick, and I was out digging out my car when he was looking for me. So if anything changes, it affects him greatly.
Yeah.
But he's doing. But he's okay. Considering he's okay, I pray the Lord for that.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Keep praying for Roy. Any other updates to anyone here on the list?
I have lots of updates. Even if the bus was running, most of the people wouldn't have been coming. Essie has had a cold for several days now, and she seems to take it, so I told her that we would be praying for her. Jimmy has had a cold for a week now, and last night he was at his worst. He was vomiting and he was a mess. And, somebody else.
James is still sick.
James is somewhat sick. Not as bad as Jimmy. But Eric is sick. He also has a cold. So I told them all that we would miss them and would be praying for them.
Okay, all right. And let's pray for them. All right, anyone else? Anyone else to pray for? Okay, let's also pray for Peggy, Eunice's aunt. She just got saved last Sunday. So there were three salvations last Sunday. There was, and I forgot to put them in the bulletin, Elsie, and then her brother JJ, and then Peggy, Eunice's aunt. So pray for Peggy and her growth in the Lord, and Pat got to lead her there to the Lord last week. Then also, we'll postpone the baby dedication until January 27th. Then we also need a driver for the teams. I believe there's only about two or three this year. So a car would be able to do it, or the church van. And do we have anybody who's willing to go up Sunday? But you have to be there by 2:30. So if you left around 1, that should give you plenty of time. Is anyone willing to go up Sunday at 1 o'clock to Philadelphia to bring the teens back? I'll be taking them up Friday at 3. I'll pick them up from school and then take them up there by 5. Is there anyone willing to pick them up next Sunday afternoon? All right. Can we spread the word around since we don't have church? So let's spread the word around. See if we might be able to get someone. Let me know.
While we're spreading,
yes.
We really do need a van driver also.
Okay.
Very, very badly.
Okay. We need a van driver for next Sunday, correct? For taking people home or picking them up and taking home?
Yeah, right. Just at this point, willing to listen to your preference and try to work around preferences. However, doing a juggling act that's very difficult because I don't have anything that's too much to juggle. So so just talk to me, and anybody else that might be interested, have them talk to me.
Okay, let's make that a matter of real prayer.
Yes.
Looking for a couple drivers to help. You know, you don't have to do it every week, but just 1 week you can help, and then that'll take the load off anyone else who can help.
This route has brought in 8 people to the church.
Amen.
8 souls that are being fed and saved and baptized, and so it's nothing to think lightly of.
Amen. Amen. We don't want to see church shrinking because we're not able to do that. So let's pray. Pray much. All right, then our annual business meeting is 2 weeks from today. And let us pray for that meeting. Then if you would like to read through the Bible this year or do it in 2 years, just record your Bible reading on the Beams schedule out in the hallway. And when you're done, send it in to them. Dylan just finished reading the Bible for the first time, so I sent in his. So, Lord willing, in a week or two, we'll get a nice certificate to be able to present to him in the church, in a week or two. Then we are going out this Saturday at 3 p.m., so if you can join us, please come. Meet at the church. And any other announcements that need to be mentioned? We're looking forward to the anniversary with Dr. Waite on February 10th. We're planning a restaurant. Carol, did you want to say anything about that?
Not yet. It's not been as easy as I would like it to be. Prices are higher than they've ever been, and locations are limited because we don't want to be where the alcohol is. So I'm working on it. If anybody has any ideas, again, come to me, talk to me, tell me.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Announcements? Any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Yes, Ms. Wright.
I have an idea, but we floor it now or later?
Yeah, you might as well.
This is the 25th, right?
Yes.
I know we discussed before catering. We know that our church has been really good at it. Is Carol and Mason. I wonder if we could get, really good catered food or something like that.
For here, you mean?
Yeah, she's a professional.
But I'm sure she has a team that she works with.
She's just going to make me, like, 200, hundreds of cookies for her or something. She still does a lot of fairs.
Okay.
With my dessert round, but it was just a thought.
That's a good thought, and she is good, and that is a possibility. But in years past, everybody was saying this is the one time that they wanted it somewhere other than at the church. So I'm still looking, but that is not a bad plan B.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's pray for that. Pray for the restaurants to work out. What prices did they give you so far?
I do have Northfield Diner.
Okay.
And right now it's tentatively saved. However, the prices have gone up considerably. I am working with her now. I'm just in discussion with her now.
Okay.
And I think that I can probably get her down a little bit. I think it's more her husband than her.
Okay.
And that would be lovely because we would have the whole back to ourselves, and it's nearby, and there's very many good points of that. Denny's is another option. They don't have alcohol, but they do charge $70 for their room. So on top of our food, there's going to be that $70.
Yeah.
So if anybody thinks they can get that waived, that's fine. But I'm still in conversation with all these people. I haven't given up on anybody yet. And the third one, I'm not sure of yet.
Okay. All right, so let's keep Carol in prayer for that, for the anniversary. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God.
pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity we have to give the ministry. We thank you, Lord, for supplying the needs, especially the financial needs, to this church and for us individually. Bless each gift, Lord, each giver, and give you the glory, thanks, and praise in Jesus' name.
Fairest Lord Jesus. We'll play with Lydia. We'll sing with Lydia. And we'll find it. Mm-hmm. 72 in our blue hymn book. And then we will have our special music after this. Or Hodge is ready for special music.
We need to have the piano player with us.
Oh, okay. No.
Later when Trisha gets back.
Okay. All right. 72. Fairest Lord Jesus. Let's stand together as we sing this before the message this morning. 72. Go ahead, Lydia.
Fairest Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus is dearer than all the world to us, and he is our very best friend. And it will keep us till the end. At this time, we'll go right to our sermon then. If we have, we'll go to our video, John. We have, this is a Voice of the Martyrs. As we look at what other Christians go through in other nations, it goes right along with what we're preaching about in Romans 8 and 9 this morning, about what, who can separate us from the love of God. So we're going to watch from Nigeria, northern Nigeria, what they've been facing. Yes, if we can.
I get it, John.
I've never been for that love in my church. Six of them went to church. My dad, my mom, and his children were four. When we started, we sing praises, we pray for the peace of the nation, then we pray for the persecuted Christians.
First and nine, now family. So during the prayer section, when the attacks happen, started hearing gunshots.
My eyes was closed. I was screaming. So, but by the time I opened my eyes, I saw everywhere. Like it's fire. I was thinking that maybe so many people would die in the church.
Everybody was crying, shouting. I started feeling some pain. I was shivering. It was cold. I did not realize it was a bullet that speared through.
I saw people on the floor. Some are dead and some are crying. There was blood around them. Their bodies. People are shouting Jesus. That was the only thing I heard. Some people shouted Jesus.
My younger brother shot him on the chest. His name is Kicho. And he died at the age of 10.
I think there are 18 people that they are shot, and 12 are dead.
I saw my father bleeding seriously, both from the thigh, his always kind, always tell us to read the Bible and be close to God. And that was the last time I saw. Not dead. Definitely one to your husband.
Interrogations are the only time I am out of solitary. I am losing hope and fear I have been forgotten. I recite Bible verses to myself, but the words are getting harder and harder to remember. I can handle the torture, the starvation, but I desperately need my Bible. Every day I pray over and over for God to give me a Bible. Now I have my chance. The interrogations have ended, and the guards trust me to go into the jungle to gather firewood. Working as fast as I can, I will collect 2 days' worth of firewood. I'll bring one bundle back. I leave the second bundle in the woods. This is what I need to do. It is very risky, but God is answering my prayer. I will risk everything to have a Bible. I don't want to leave my wife, but I have to, or she will be in danger. Leaving her is so hard. God has answered my prayer. I have a Bible, but I must be careful. They found my Bible, but I would not give up. I will bring in more Bibles. I will read God's Word every chance I get. Then the letters came. Letters from me. Letters from Christians all over the world. God not only answered my prayer for a Bible, He let me know I am not forgotten.
ขอบคุณพระเจ้าขอบคุณอนาพี่น้องทั่วโลกที่อธิษฐานอ้อนวอนเพื่อโอ้และก็หมู่คู่พี่น้องอย่าตะคุกและก็ขอบคุณพี่น้องทั่วโลก
Through this passage, Romans 8, verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless us now as we study your word. Help us to learn and grow from it. We thank you for the many Christians who are all around the world, faithfully standing firm amidst very hard persecution and trials. We know that some are risking life and limb, and some are actually giving up their lives for the death to stay faithful to you, Lord. We pray you'd bless them, give them strength amidst the hour of persecution. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be thankful for the freedom that we have here, that we'd not just be thankful for it, but do something about it, Lord, that we would tell people about Jesus. Lord, we know that so many here are our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, our co-workers are without Christ, and they need someone to tell them. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do our job and to help us to see the importance of it. And we pray you'd be with those who are not able to be with us this morning. We pray you'd just minister their needs as well. And we pray you'd bring us all back together again very soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. And they are still facing radical Muslims all the time coming into their nation. They live in Nigeria, and they're attacking churches all over there. So let us pray for the country of Nigeria, and specifically the Christians in that country of Nigeria. Islam is spreading, not necessarily through people converting to it, but by because they are subjecting more and more people to it. That the Muslims are getting are just going out and literally putting the sword to people and saying, "Convert to Islam, or we'll kill you." And of course, people who don't know Christ, they don't want to die, so they say, "Okay," and they let them come in. So pray for these nations and the Christians in these nations. All right, so here we see in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ?" We know this is a rhetorical question. What is the answer to this question? No one. No one can separate us from the love of God. And not even these things that are mentioned here. What is mentioned as possible separators according to the world? What does the world think that they can separate us from God? Yes, politics is a big one. Politics, they try to say, "Well, we are going to take away your freedom to be able to read your Bible and bring it to school." There's a school of thought that says that, that children are allowed to bring their Bibles to school anymore. But that is not true. In the United States, our Constitution guarantees the freedom for every school-age child to bring their Bible to school. But certain school districts and certain principals and leaders in the schools are saying, "Oh, no, no, you can't bring it." But they can get sued, and they will lose their, they'll get sued, and they'll have to face a big lawsuit. However, many people are ignorant to that fact, and so they just give in and say, "Okay, I'm not going to let my child bring their Bible to school." And so we need to educate people on the freedoms we still have in this country, although they are being encroached upon. California is leading the charge for setting the bringing in this anti-God sentiment into our nation. They are trying to take away a lot of things. What is the latest things that they're trying to do? Does anybody know? Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have to accept that and go more like
I heard just yesterday New Jersey is actually contemplating, our Democrat-controlled legislature in New Jersey is now weighing out, and they're making a decision on whether this is going to be the second state in the union to put LGBT literature and force them to teach that in the public schools. So that is now being weighed out in our New Jersey Assembly. And so let us pray for our state that we do not side with California and go that direction, because that's going to then have very dangerous ramifications in all areas. Yes? Wow. Wow. And they joined California in that. Wow, it's pretty sad. Yes.
And in our own backyard, a friend of mine unfortunately had to stop teaching due to cancer. Long story made short, they had a difficult time replacing her, but that just did about a week or two ago, and they replaced her with an openly gay man who is very open about his choice in his classroom, and he teaches very
Okay, let us pray for that school.
That's in Egg Harbor Township.
Egg Harbor Township. And so it's they're coming on strong ever since they won that court case, in the Supreme Court case a year or two ago, that the LGBT movement is feeling their strength and they're trying to now push. So let us pray for our nation, because one person said, many Christians actually have said this, but when homosexuality is openly embraced in a country, guess who? What is not embraced? The Bible. So Christians then become the persecuted ones when homosexuality is openly embraced, and we've seen it over and over in other nations. You know, it started in Europe. You know, you go through Europe, all the nations that used to be somewhat Christian, they openly embraced homosexuality and every other type of sin, and now Christians are getting persecuted left and right in those nations. So let us pray that that as the Lord tarries, we know it's going to get worse and worse as the closer we get to the Lord coming back. But let us now pray for our freedoms, and let us use our freedoms. Let's not side with them, but let's side against those who would try to take away our freedoms. Here we see in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That it is no new thing that Christians are getting killed for their faith. All you have to do is read through the Old Testament to see what they did to the prophets. What did they do to the prophets? The unbelieving Israelites that would try to tell them, hey, don't do this. No, hey, you cannot offer these sacrifices to idols. No, you are committing abomination against the Lord. What would they do with those prophets? They'd either put them in jail or kill them on the spot. Okay, we think of quite a few. The prophets of Jezebel, or the prophets of God during Jezebel's day, what did she do with them? She killed hundreds of prophets, and then, Micaiah hid about 100 of them in a cave and fed them with bread and water every day during Elijah's day. That's why Elijah was moaning and complaining. He said, I'm the only one left. And God said, no, I have reserved me 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So right when we think we're the last ones or the last ones being faithful, we need to remember that God still has his remnants that are faithful to him. And so all through the Old Testament, there the prophets were scorned and killed and put to death. In Saul's day, remember King Saul put to death 100 of God's 70 of God's prophets. That he killed on one fell swoop with Doeg. And so all through the Old Testament, God's people have been killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. And so here Paul says, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That we don't have to fear persecution. That is one thing. That as Christians, we don't have to fear persecution. My brother Jonathan and Jeannie, they're in China right now, and it's a very uncertain time there in China that the government's cracking down on the Chinese Christians, and they are having a lot of things happen against them. Thankfully, they're not doing it to the international citizens that are coming in from other countries, or such as my brother and those coming in for work, but they are very much attacking their own people. And so we need to remember that this is not a strange thing, although it's new to us. And so if we look at some of the statements of the people, the Christians of the past, who went through persecution, we see here I have some accounts here. David said in Psalm 14:4, they eat up my people as bread, as they eat bread. They kill Christians to please themselves, to be food to their malice. Sheep are killed not because they are hurtful while they live, but because they are useful when they are dead. They make no more of killing a Christian than of butchering a sheep. The inability of these things to separate us from the love of Christ Shall they? Can they do it? No, by no means. All this will not cut the bond of love and friendship that is between Christ and true believers. Christ doth not, will not, love us the less for all this. All these troubles are very consistent with the strong and constant love of the Lord Jesus. They are neither a cause nor an evidence of the abatement of His love. When Paul was whipped and beaten and imprisoned and stoned, did Christ love him ever the less? Were His favors intermitted? His smiles any bit suspended, his visits more shy? No, by no means, but the contrary. These things separate us from the love of other friends. When Paul was brought before Nero, all men forsook him. But then the Lord stood by him. 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17. Whatever persecuting enemies may rob us of, they cannot rob us of the love of Christ. They cannot intercept His love tokens. They cannot interrupt or exclude His visits. And therefore, let them do their worst. They cannot make a true believer miserable. Do you realize that? That no one can make us miserable. We can make ourselves miserable, but God will always be there. No one can steal our joy. We are the only ones that can lose our joy. Do you realize that? No one can steal our joy from us. We are the only ones who give it up. And we give it up by our own volition. So therefore, let them do their worst. They cannot make a true believer miserable. We do not, will not love him the less for this. And that for that reason, he does not love us less. Let Satan do his worst. He is chained. Let the world do its worst. It is conquered. Principalities and powers are spoiled and disarmed and triumphed over in the cross of Christ. Who then dares fight against us while God Himself is fighting for us? So we see as some were dying, they said that in their dying words, you read the last words of saints and sinners, and they always are in victory. That when people die in Christ, they die in victory. Some people, as they were led to the stake, they were literally smiling and laughing. And as they get burned at the stake, they are singing songs of praise to God. How is that possible? Because they had the joy of Jesus that no one can take away from them. And so in verse In verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here, number two, we see we are conquerors because Christ has already won. He has already won. So we have already won as Christians. We are on the winning side. And so we can go through these things. Any trial we go through is nothing compared to the battle that's already been won for us. Any trial or tribulation we go through, even the final trial of our life, is nothing, not big compared to what Christ has already won for us. And so let us remember that as we go through things, let us remember, hey, we are fine because we have the love of Christ still with us. We may not have much else, but we have the love of Christ still with us. And so nothing can make us destitute when we have Christ. Then in chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom is as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So here, point number three, it's time to take Christ to the people. What should we do because we still have freedom? Because we can still give out the gospel, it's time to take Christ to the people. Sure, we'll face rejection. Sure, we'll get some people to not want to talk to us, and they'll slam the door in our face. And sure, we'll get people who say, "Oh, I'm okay. I'm in my own church." But do they not deserve another chance to hear the gospel? Are people not worthy of our time? Are people not worth it? Is it because people are not worth it that Christians as a whole don't give the gospel? Or is it because Satan has duped us into thinking that we have more important things to do? Is it because Satan has made us lazy as Christians? And has said, oh no, there's other things that you have to fill your time with. See, we have to realize that's Satan talking. That's not God talking. That God says everyone needs to hear the gospel message and hear it again and again and again until they receive Him. That we need to go knocking on doors. We need to tell people at the grocery store to give them a gospel tract and say, hey, do you know Jesus as your Savior yet? Don't just give it to them. You spring up a conversation. Hey, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior yet? Do you know where you're going when you die? You know, as we talked to people yesterday at the apartment complex where we were, in the carriage house, that honestly, most people said, I don't know. Of the people we were able to get that question out to, about five people, they said, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I don't know. I don't know. And one young man, he said, oh, I don't know. And he tried to be all calloused and tried to be all tough guy, you know. One of these young guys in the early 20s, tough guy. He says, no, I don't know. And I don't really, it doesn't bother me at all. You could tell he was trying to say it with a stern face on, and then he shut the door. But just his very reaction showed us that his true colors were showing through. It scared him half to death to think about his eternity. It scared him half to death, and he was not wanting to face it at that moment. People need us to bring up this very important subject of their soul, because in a few short years, or perhaps this year, maybe the Lord comes back this year, they will be duped into believing the lie of the devil. Into believing in the Antichrist and his false powers. And so we need to realize, hey, that while people still have time, we need to give them the gospel. And don't just give it once and say, oh, you know, I'm going to give up on that person. No, we keep offering them time and time again and praying for them. Why? Because it's no less than our job and our duty. It's our debt that we owe to Christ. That, as Paul says, we are debtors both to the Jews and to the Greeks. Okay? That we are debtors. We have a debt to pay. That Christ, who saved us, said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. So we have to be faithful to that debt. And if we're not faithful to that debt, then we're not faithful to our solemn commission. As John R. Rice stated very aptly in his sermon, he said, then we have been derelict in our duty. And unfaithful to that great trust that which we have been entrusted with, and that is to share the gospel with every person that we meet. And so here Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why did Paul have such sorrow and heaviness in his heart? Because he knew what he was about to say in this chapter. Chapter 9 reveals that the Jews have been blinded due to their callousness toward Christ and their desire of works-based righteousness, that they want to gain their own righteousness their own way, and as a result, Christ has put them aside for now so that the Gentiles can come in. And so here Paul had great weakness and sorrow in his heart. He did not share this chapter lightly. You know, some might try to accuse Paul of being, oh, well, Paul, you just don't like Jews anymore. Well, how could Paul do that? He's a Jew himself, you know. How can he not like Jews anymore? Some people accuse people of racism. That word gets thrown around all the time nowadays. They accuse people of being racist. Why? Because they say something that goes against someone else who's of the same nationality or ethnicity. But is that what the world is trying to do? Is they're trying to silence anyone with a viewpoint different than their own. The world is trying, in its political correctness, they're trying to say, oh, you have a different viewpoint than us, therefore you need to shut your mouth and be quiet because you're a racist. You know, they're going to call us any type of names. Why? Because we're just trying to teach the truth, preach the truth of the Bible. And so we do not need to be intimidated by people who throw names around. One of the words that they're going to name us as Christians is, oh, you're one of those Christian bigots. What's a bigot? A bigot is a person the world says is who's unkind and who's only giving their opinion, the light, the weight, and they have already predetermined for other people. What are they trying to say? They're trying to say that Christians are bigots because we say that homosexuality is a sin. Okay? So they're saying we're a Christian bigot. Well, guess what? It is not bigoted to say the truth in Christ. They may try to silence us by calling us names. But that's just the oppression of the one world system that's coming. The Antichrist system is already coming into play. He may not have exposed himself yet. We don't know how long it's going to take or how short. But we know that the closer we get to the time of Christ, that Jesus said there are already many Antichrists. Many ones that are going to drive in that spirit. And that's what we're seeing today is the spirit of the age is against Christ and His Word, and it's getting increasingly rebellious. And so don't be sad if people call you names for saying what the Bible says We need to say what the Bible says no matter what. And so here, many Jews hated Paul. They hated him. They said, oh, you, such an one is not worthy to, for this fellow is not worthy to live. He is the offscouring of the earth, and such an one is not worthy to live, as they said in Acts 22 when Paul tried to give his defense for why he was called into the called before all the leaders that day. And they hated him. Why? Because he said that Christ is, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. And they hated him for it. And they just were gnashing their teeth and they wanted to kill him on the spot. So here we see, you know what, it's nothing new if people say slurs at us and say words about us. But here they were trying to, the many Jews are say many slurs against Paul. They say, oh, that traitor. Oh, that guy who was a traitor to his own people. You know, here he is selling us out for the Gentiles. And you can imagine all these things. Well, here Paul says, no, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. That he, this was not a happy thing for him to have to announce. That the Jews, by and large, as a people, they were under blindness. But many individuals would still be saved. Many individual Jews are still being saved today. They are still coming to Christ today. And so that's why we shouldn't stop giving the gospel to them. That's why we should support Brother Bucher in prayer as he goes out to his people. Why? Because, or not to his people, he's a Gentile. But as he goes out to the Jewish people. They're going to call him many names as he shared in his... In his Sunday night sermon, he is going to be persecuted. As soon as Jews find out he's a Christian and he's trying to convert them to biblical Christianity, he's going to get persecuted. But nonetheless, he's there because he loves them. And so we should be as well. For verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. If it were even possible, Paul says he wished he could be accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul is saying if it would profit anything for him to be accursed, to him to be an anathema from Christ, that he would do so. Why? Because he loved them so much. That is a love that only a rare few would ever have for people. And so Paul shows he's not prejudiced or racist or any of the bigot words that they were trying to throw at him. He proves that he loves all people because love is of God. And verse 4, for who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory? So what are the blessings of being an Israelite? Hey, Paul's saying, hey, just because Christ is going to... is putting you off as the main ambassadors of his work and his word doesn't mean you haven't been blessed in the past. Doesn't mean you does not discount who you how you maintained the Christian faith up to this point. How you brought in the biblical faith through the adoption of Abraham, through Abraham and his seed that by faith you believed the word of the Lord and you continued copying the Bible and all those things, to whom pertained the glory, you know, that God's glory was upon Israel. All you have to do is read the Old Testament just a little bit to see God's glory upon Israel. And his pride is not his pride, but his sense of protecting them as his children and his people. And the covenants that he gave to them, the Davidic covenant to David, that you would have the promised Messiah would reign from his throne, and that David's line would go forever and ever through Jesus, and the giving of the law, okay, to Moses, as he gave Moses that law, he entrusted the Jews with the law that all Gentile nations would be blessed with. Do you know our code here in the United States is based upon the Judeo-Christian ethic and the Judeo-Christian law given to Moses there in the Jewish in Judaism in the time of the Jews there in Mount Sinai. And the service of God. Here, notice all the services they were able to give to God over the years and to help proselytes come in all through the surrounding kings and kingdoms, that people who truly wanted to seek God and be saved, they came into Israel. Some did not come into Israel. Some stayed in their countries, you know. Think of Naaman, the leper who believed on the Lord. And he didn't leave, but he wanted to be faithful to God. He was a very young Christian. So he said, Elisha, let me at least go, when my master goes in to worship Ramon, his god, that at least he can lean upon my staff. And Elisha didn't say, you know, he couldn't and all that. Well, here who just believed on the Lord, had just had weak faith, that he had weak faith. And nonetheless, did God say they couldn't be saved? Well, they could still be saved. And some came in, some didn't come in. But the Israelite service of God was of utmost importance to the whole world at that time. And the promises he gave to all of us in the Old Testament. Verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So without our Jewish fathers, our Jewish forefathers of the faith, you know, you say, well, I'm not a Jew, so how am I related? Well, we're all related in Abraham, number one, but really we're related through spiritual means, not physical means. We are not Jewish of the flesh, but we are Jews of the Spirit. Through the faith of Abraham and through our faith, we now are one family. And so we see that they are our spiritual fathers. So we need to reverence them as such, the ones who are in the Old Testament, but not necessarily be mean to their physical line today. Just because we're saved and they're not, the Jewish people today, doesn't mean we need to disrespect them or say slurs against them or say, ah, you stupid people, you're blind, you know, can't you see anything? You don't know. We need to love them and respect them as the descendants of those that helped us, and pray that they get saved and that they can come into the family of God. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Without them, without our Old Testament forefathers, we would be without Christ. So we have so much that we owe to the Jewish people. So that's why we should, as Pastor Logan prays regularly for the Prime Minister, Netanyahu, we should pray for him. And we should pray for the nation as a whole. We should pray for the leaders, just like we pray for our nation. We should pray for them. Why? Because we want the peace of Jerusalem. And that is what is appropriate prayer in the New Testament age, just like it was in David's day. God blessed, who is over all, God blessed forever. Here, Christ is supreme, Paul says. No matter what's going on in the world, Christ is over all. And God has blessed him forever. So we need to be blessed as we come closer to Christ. Verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Here, he now makes a distinction. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That here, not everyone who claims to be related to Abraham is of Abraham. Okay, Ishmael, if anyone had a claim to Abraham, here Paul says Ishmael had a claim, right? Ishmael had a claim, but here God said, no, in Isaac shall thy son be called. That thy seed shall be in Isaac, not in Ishmael, but in Isaac. And so we see, just because many Jews today claim to be a part of Abraham, they are not part of Abraham's spiritual seed. And so we need to help them. And we need to help any person. Doesn't matter if they're part of Ishmael's line. The wild ones, who would persecute Isaac, you know, and doesn't matter if they're part of Esau's line, the ones that are so fleshly, and it doesn't matter if they're Muslim or Hindu or whatever, whoever they are, we need to love them and share the gospel with them. A few weeks ago, as Dylan and I were out soul winning, one guy told us, "Well, I'm a Muslim, and you know, and so I have my own faith." He said, "Well, do you know for 100% for sure if you were to die today where you'd go?" He says, "Well," and he tried to put on a tough face again, all these things, but you could tell it bothered him just asking him that question. And so we can't, just because they say they're Muslim, we can't just shut up and say, "Oh, okay, well, you have a nice day. I don't want to get persecuted today." No, we still have an obligation to share with them the gospel. And thankfully, they're not in power here. Guess what? They can't do anything to you here. But so we need to love on people, and regardless of who they are, where they've come from, and give them the gospel. So let's ask God for a burden. You know, what would our brothers and sisters in Nigeria say of us if they found out who was sharing the gospel and who wasn't? What would our brothers and sisters in India say if they found out who was sharing the gospel and who wasn't? What would our brothers and sisters in Laos say if they found out who was sharing the gospel and who wasn't? Would they be proud of us as brothers in Christ, or would they be ashamed? Saying, "What, with all the freedom you have, and you're not doing what we're doing? What's going on? What's going on?" Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be reminded of your word this morning. Lord, that you love all people, and that we should have that same love for them. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to love our Bibles enough that we would read it every day, and that we would meditate on it and memorize it, as this gentleman did. That's all he had in prison for over 10 years. And Lord, we pray you'd help us to love our Bibles like that, and help us to love other people enough to share with them the gospel. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be faithful representatives here in the United States, as other Christians are around the world. Lord, help us to be Spirit-filled Christians, because we know that once we are obeying you and your commands and trying to live for you daily, that those things will work out themselves and we'll get a burden for souls. Lord, help us to have that burden. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn book, 567, as we close this service. Let's all stand together as we sing this last song. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. Would you come as we sing this song, 567. Let's all stand together as we sing. Is there a heart or bound by
Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, we pray this morning, this afternoon, Lord, for those who are not with us because of whatever situation, whether it be the snow or just not feeling well. We ask a healing touch on the sick ones, especially at this time, that your healing touch will be upon their bodies, Lord. Be Roy and give them strength unto their Lord and give them guidance. And watch over him, dear God, and carry him. We pray your blessings upon the Lord and for foot problem, we just ask for your healing touch, dear God. You know, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you, Lord, to do, and we just pray you do this human impossibility that looks like you, Lord, and pray for your healing touch, and be with Patty, Lord, there in the home, Lord. We pray you continue to encourage her, Lord, and help her, Lord, to make a way for her to take them to read your word and to do the things that she should do, Lord, and she can do, dear God, to help, Lord, to keep her motivated, friend. We just pray your blessing in her life. Be with Trisha this morning, to Nablus and Evan. We know that they would be here and not been for whatever and have kept them back. Your God hand be upon her, Lord, and upon Evan. We pray for her mom and her aunt that you'll be with them, Lord, to encourage their hearts, Lord, to continue, Lord, reading your word and to serve in you, dear God. Father, we just pray you bless and guide the activity of this church, that you let be a light in the city of Northfield, and the surrounding cities, there, God. And as we share the gospel, Lord, through the tracks, just press station, that you will touch lives, and that many will come to know you as Savior. Now, Lord, as we come to the end of this day of service, that you guide us to home in safety, we ask, dear God, that you will bless and guide and direct, Lord, in the evening service, that your name be glorified, and your name will be lifted up, Lord. And Father, we thank you. Give you the glory, give you the praise for all things we have asked in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.